This podcast was brought to you by Optus Stadium, now taking orders for your next breakfast or lunch meeting.
Good afternoon and welcome to At Close of Business, a daily podcast hosted by Business News.
With Western Australia's border set to reopen in the new year, today senior journalist Matt McKenzie talks to At Close of Business about skills shortages, what's causing them, how do we fix them, and whether a border reopening will address the problem.
But first, here's the news you need to know today.
WA bureaucrat Paul White has been sentenced to 12 years in prison this afternoon after stealing more than $27 million in public funds. Mr. White, who is 58 years of age, was sentenced in the WA Supreme Court this afternoon after pleading guilty to 567 corruption and money laundering charges. He has admitted masterminding what the Corruption and Crime Commission has described as Australia's biggest corruption by a public servant. The former high flyer appeared on Friday via video link from custody, dressed in prison greens, as Justice Joseph McGrath heard sentencing submissions. A prolific gambler, Mr. White used his influential senior roles in WA's public housing and communities departments to authorise payment of false invoices to shell companies which had bank accounts controlled by White and another person. The total sum stolen from the state was more than $27.4 million, and the personal benefit to White exceeded $11 million. And in mining news, iron ore miner Roy Hill Holdings doubled its profit last year to $4.4 billion, triggering a big dividend payout to shareholders led by Gina Rinehart's Hancock Prospecting. The miner paid $4.1 billion in dividends to its owners in respect of the last financial year, with a further $1.5 billion paid in October 2021. Roy Hill is the largest revenue and profit earner for Hancock Prospecting. The dividends followed the repayment of all outstanding loans under the company's revolving credit facilities. The company said ongoing strong operational performance enabled it to capture the high iron ore prices that prevailed during the financial year, with higher shipped tonnages. Roy Hill achieved a record annual run rate of more than 60 million tonnes in the 3 months to June 2020. The company said it had paid $571 million in state royalties, with a further $1.39 billion in company tax payments to the end of June 2021. An investment firm Blackstone has launched another acquisition offer for casino operator Crown Resorts. Crown told the share market on Friday it had received an unsolicited bid from Blackstone to buy all of the shares in the company for $12.50 cash per share. It's an increase on Blackstone's previous attempts to acquire the beleaguered casino operator, with offers on the table of $11.85 in March and $12.35 in May. The deal would require final approval from casino regulators in Victoria, New South Wales, and WA. The offer comes as Crown weathers further scrutiny of its WA operations, with the Royal Commission still underway. And it took years of planning and three design iterations for Gary Dempsey's $22.8 million Cottesloe apartment proposal to be endorsed by the state's peak planning body, but the project may have been derailed with the owners having sold the block of land. Gary Dempsey Developments lodged plans for a nine-storey apartment project for 120 Marine Parade with the State Development Assessment Unit in December of last year. The development was officially approved by the state's Planning Commission back in August, but not before Mr. Dempsey and his architects were sent back to the drawing board twice. The town of Cottesloe and the community had persistent concerns about the height, bulk, and scale of the development, resulting in the first two concepts being recommended for refusal. As a result, the proposal was reduced from 9 stories to 7, and the number of apartments reduced from 16 to 12. But the future of the development now remains unclear, as Business News understands the owners have sold the 561 square metre site to architect and developer Barry Baltinis. Mr. Dempsey confirmed the land sale, which he said was very surprising and disappointing, particularly given the amount of work that had gone into securing development approval for the proposal. Business News understands Mr. Dempsey and the site's owners had entered into a strategic alliance to develop the site.
We'll be right back.
We understand that business relies on being informed. That's why Business News is your most reliable source of news, industry insights, and business connections. To stay fully informed, we encourage you to subscribe to our emails, flick through our magazine, and visit businessnews.com.au for daily news updates. It's the best way to ensure you have the information you need to be future ready. Business News. More news, more insights, more connections.
Matt, borders is something that we talk about a lot on this podcast, but I think it's prescient because the reopening date is fast approaching. We don't know when it is, but we know it'll be some point in the new year. And we've decided to talk about it today because of an event held earlier this week for Business News as part of our Success and Leadership event. And that was Managing Director of Wesfarmers, Rob Scott, who addressed a crowd of business people at Crown on Wednesday morning. He spoke in favour of setting a reopening date. His idea was that the sooner we get vaccinated and reopen the border, the better the economic outcomes for all. Now, I do note some of the issues across WA, namely labour shortages, are being felt across the world, and they're being felt in other states. I note that in the UK and the US, unemployment is as low as 4.5%, and there's been, in the UK at least, a shortage of truck drivers, which has led to a shortage of critical supplies. And as I understand it there, the government's response thus far has been to press ahead with training initiatives and demands that the private sector increase wages. Similarly, in the US, inflation has risen, which is a natural thing to expect as a result of low unemployment. And inflation is increasingly being seen as a pinch point for US President Joe Biden heading into the midterms. It's also interesting to look at what's happening in other states at the moment, with New South Wales and Victoria emerging from lockdowns. There's labour shortages there as demand is surging, but there's not necessarily a commensurate supply of workers on the other end. And I note as well, New South Wales is increasing its immigration intake targets. Now, you have some very strong views on this one, particularly as it pertains to labour shortages. Tell me what your views are.
Yeah, there's been a lot of commentary on this, and it's not just from Rob Scott. It's also, other lobby groups and all the rest of it have been saying, let's reopen the borders because it's going to help ease worker shortages and whatever else. I'm not really convinced that it will, to be honest with you. And we talk a lot about the great resignation or whatever around the world at the moment. I want to talk about the great vacation. And that is all the people from West Australia that have been locked up basically for 2 years that are going to be, they're going to be leaving the state on holiday or whether because they want to work overseas. And Mark McGowan knows this. It's because the state budget says the 2023 financial year, which is the one that's coming up after next June, they're estimating 1.3% growth in WA, which will be a couple of percentage points less than what they're estimating for this year, because partly because stimulus is being wound back and partly because of issues with tourism, basically, because there won't be so much tourism within the state. I'll come back to that point in a second. But we know that before the borders were closed, there was already a brain drain in WA, something we'd reported on a fair bit in Business News. And of course, we've got to reopen the borders at some point. Better to do it when we're all vaccinated and ready to take on a wave of COVID. We, in this podcast and in other podcasts, have been, we've explained, I think, a lot of the economic benefits of keeping the borders closed during the COVID crisis and all the rest of it. And, you know, it's entirely acceptable that we're going to have to reopen at some point and allow people to have freedom of movement again. We can't stay closed forever. But we must dispel this myth that it's just going to be fantastic for the economy. And what you've said about other countries around the world and other states is very important. Sydney, they're talking about they have a foreign student shortage, right? Well, that's something that can be fixed by reopening the borders. But what can't be fixed is that the job ads in SEEK apparently at the highest level in 23 years. Adds up 44%, I think, versus the same time in 2019. That's in New South Wales. So very, very substantial increases in job vacancies. So it's not like workers are going to be coming from interstate. Will they come from overseas? Well, Forbes said in September that 54% of companies globally had talent shortages. 69% in the US struggling to fill positions. So if we reopen the borders, it's fantastic because it gives people freedom back and all the rest of it. But I don't see necessarily that we're going to have huge amounts of people coming here from other places. Remember, during the global financial crisis and during the last mining boom, many other countries had very, very high unemployment. So there was a good reason for people to want to come to Australia for a few years to work FIFO in a mining industry or whatever else. Now there's job vacancies around the world. And there's an incentive now, I think, for West Aussies to want to go overseas and work in America, work in the US, work in the UK for a bit, as opposed to the other way around. So it's something we need to think about. And on this, I read somewhere that 30 million boomers retired in one quarter, one three-month period, just recently. So that makes you think, actually, that this talk about vacancies and labour shortages, this may well be the thematic of this decade. Last decade, there was very low inflation, mostly around the world in the aftermath of the GFC. Now we've got people starting to retire, boomers reaching retirement age, and so worker shortages are going to become an increasing problem. We saw projections some years ago that said that whereas maybe a few decades ago there were 6 working Aussies for every retired person, now there's going to be 2 or 3, 2.5 maybe for every retired person. So there's going to be a lot of retired people, and there's going to be a much smaller workforce. Not just here, but again, around the world, places like Japan, places like China, it's going to be a similar problem. And this could become the big issue of the decade ahead. And think about industries like aged care. People say, well, we need more employees in aged care. What can we do to improve the aged care workforce to get more people in there? It's true of every industry. And the idea that if we just pay workers more to, you know, we'll pay aged care workers more versus we'll pay these workers more or those workers more, what you're going to get is people, you're adding to competition between industries, but you're not resolving the overall problem, which is that you don't have a big enough labor force. So a lot of things to think about there. And how do you improve the size of the labor force? Well, basically, you probably need to start making it easier for women to come back into the workforce after having children, for example, things like that. Very different question. Ultimately, the evidence that reopening the borders is going to fix it, not sure.
I am confused sometimes by the connection that's made there. You spoke a bit about tourism, and yeah, I find it darkly amusing that there's a narrative developing that reopening the border will all of a sudden increase tourism numbers. And I say that because I like to look back on previous editions of Business News as far back as 5-10 years ago. And the issue is always, well, how do we get more people into the state? How do we grow tourism? For some reason, I don't anticipate that problem's just going to be solved tomorrow if we were to reopen the border. You've taken a look at some of the numbers and you've tried to quantify this. Can you tell me what we can expect if we do reopen the borders with tourism here in WA?
There's no doubt that having closed borders hurt some tourism businesses, but it's also true that some businesses really seriously benefited from it, which is why we've talked about, again, the labour shortages for regional tourism businesses. They can't get enough staff and people within the state holidaying within the state. In terms of within the state holidaying, in the southwest, the amount spent down there doubled in the year to June 2021 compared to the previous financial year to $2 billion. So that's within state tourism. West Aussies going within the state to the southwest. Coral Coast tourism within state up 80%. And something to think about is when the borders reopen. And as we said, there's a strong argument that they have to reopen early next year. Fair enough. But we need to think about what the impact is going to be on these businesses. A lot of them have been putting on extra staff and investing in their businesses to try and accommodate more people. And suddenly all of these people are presumably going to want to go see the world because they haven't been able to do it for 2 years. So it could be a problem. And will West Australia be the tourism destination of choice for international travellers? Maybe it will be, on the basis we've managed COVID well, but maybe it won't be on the basis that people might say, oh, I don't want to end up in a lockdown, I don't want to end up with the borders closed and not being able to leave or whatever else. Unfortunately, there have been some people that have really done damage to Australia by being critical of some policies that were pretty good. I mean, you know, West Australia, we've kept ourselves safe having our borders closed. Some people internationally, some Australians internationally have been very critical, and perhaps it's maybe damaged our ability to bring in tourists and all the rest of it, which is a concern. Another thought, West Aussies spent $1 billion more last financial year, 2021, than they did in 2019 in within state tourism. And that compensated basically for the lack of interstate visitors. So there are winners and losers. And of course, the lack of international travelers has hurt businesses very badly. But we need to be thinking ahead, because Maggie's Margaret River Cafe is not going to be having so many people from Perth come down and visit anymore. And possibly they're not likely to be compensated in terms of international arrivals either. And so what has been a tourism boom for some parts of WA could very quickly become a tourism bust. So again, if we've got to reopen the borders, fair enough, but let's not pretend it's going to resolve every economic issue.
I can't help but talk about this as a wage shortage problem just briefly, and I recall heading to an event earlier this year with the Premier and the Education Minister, and it was the Skills Shortage Summit, where they were working with business leaders and they had every minister in attendance to work with the business community to try and solve this issue. At the press conference beforehand, I remember raising my hand and asking the Premier, well, why are we having this event? I recall that there was a release that came through from CFMEU State Secretary Mick Buchan essentially saying that these companies just ought to pay their workers a bit more. And I put that situation to him. And he said to me that, well, all that's going to do is start bidding wars between industries and companies. But these are the sort of things that I think we need to be cognizant of and aware of in the future. As you say, this seems as if it will become the thematic issue in the coming years. Maybe it's one we ought to contend with a little better rather than simply saying, let's just reopen the border and everything will be fixed. Complex issue, one I assume we'll be talking for years to come, hopefully on this podcast too. Matt, thank you so much.
Thanks, Jordan. Can't wait to see the world, though.
Hi, I'm Danielle Green, General Manager at Business News. Are you a young business leader creating impact in your industry? Nominations are now open for the 40 Under 40 Awards, celebrating and recognising Western Australia's leading business professionals under the age of 40. Stand apart from your competitors, show your commitment to excellence, and celebrate your place as a leader in your field. Nominate today. For more information, visit 40under40.com.au.
This podcast was brought to you by Optus Stadium, now taking orders for your next breakfast or lunch meeting.
If you like what you've heard, head to our Spotify page to like and subscribe. New episodes of At Close of Business are available every day in time for our afternoon wrap. I'm Jordan Murray. See you tomorrow.